This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum everyone and welcome back to our Q&A with Sheikh Akram Nadwi every Thursday, 6 p.m. GMT. I hope everyone is well, inshallah, and jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for giving us your time and allowing us to benefit from you, and jazakallah khair and everyone else for always joining and coming with new and strange and, I guess, questions I've never heard before. We have one question already from YouTube, so let's go with that, inshallah. Fahim Khan is asking, what are the conditions for having prayed on time? For example, if someone starts praying Dhuhr a couple of minutes before Asr, but finishes after Asr has entered, have they prayed on time?
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulih Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi amma ba'd. You know, the prayer actually on the time is very, very important. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the Quran, inna salata kanat ala al-mu'mineena kitaban mawquta. The prayer is obligatory on the believers on fixed times. And times has a real impact on the people. You know, when people pray on the time, then they get all the blessings and all the benefits of the prayer properly. Same like fasting. You know, when you start fasting on the time and break on the time, you get all the barakah. So same thing, prayer, zakat, all these are fixed, hajj, fixed. So the timing of the prayer should be considered very, very important. No rak'ah should be outside the time. The people should finish the prayer before time has ended, except if they have an excuse or somebody has been sleeping or some other reason, and then they wake up. So then they pray whatever time they wake up, that is their time. It will be qada, or if it is two rak'ah out of time, it will be out of time. So if there's no excuse, you know, it is sinful. With the reason, excuse, then we hope, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Many of the believers must make effort to do the prayers well in time. That's why, you know, it is recommended that you do the prayer in such a time that if you need to repeat it, still you can repeat on the time. At least that should be done. Otherwise, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised that people should do every prayer in the earliest time. And the Quran says, Sabiqu, you know, you should race, you know, compete. And there's no race better than the prayer. You know, we race in so many things and compete people, but the best competition, the prayer. People must make sure that they pray on the time.
So, Sheikh, if someone prays within the time, but they still delay it, maybe in the last 10 minutes of the timing, are they sinful or are they just missing out on some reward?
No, as long as you're doing the time, that's fine. But if people make habit like that, like a laziness or something, yeah, then it is not very good. But as long as the people pray in the time, that's fine.
Okay, inshallah. Let's take... If anyone who's asking a question, if you can try and keep it to maybe two sentences, because some are quite long. Let's take a question from... Okay, let's take a question from Tapashita Bassam. If a woman does not maintain hijab, will she get the sin of adultery?
How can you jump from one to other thing? You know, people get sin for whatever they do. People not going to get sin for something what could people think. So, you know, if somebody delays the prayer, he's not going to get the sin of missing the prayer. If people miss the prayer, it is sinful. But if somebody delays the prayer, something different. So similarly, if a woman does not put a hijab properly, it could be minor sin, sometimes could be, you know, major sin, but it is different from adultery. Adultery is another matter. So I really don't understand how can be any confusion between the adultery is one of the worst in Islam. You know, so people should never compare anything with adultery. That is a very, very, it is next to shirk only. So, you know, it is, and that's why if people accuse anybody of adultery and the person has not done adultery, then they are going to be struck, you know, 80 lashes. you know, it is very, very severe and not a right. Even actually, if people see a man, woman, you know, in same blanket, lying together, still you cannot accuse the people of zina. Still, it is not allowed. So imagine, really, if people have seen two people lying together, still they cannot accuse them. So always, you know, limit yourself, and judgment is on the day of judgment. So we are not allowed to judge about the people, and always have good thinking about the believers, never bad thinking. You are not going to be asked in the day of judgment about good thinking, but you're going to ask about the bad thinking. So be very, very careful. People's honors should be respected.
Okay, inshallah. Let's move on to a question from Yusuf Ahmed. The question is split into two parts, so I will put the second part on the screen, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I am an Islamic studies teacher from the UK based in the UAE. I wanted some clarification about Isra wal Mi'raj, please, a topic which I'm teaching at secondary school. Were they both with the body and soul of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I have heard some ulama saying that the Isra is agreed upon to be with both, but there's a difference of opinion with Mi'raj.
Yeah, so, you know, people use two words, Isra and Mi'raj. Isra, what they mean is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam journey in the night from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Jerusalem. And he led the prayer, you know, all the prophets, and then he came back the same night. So that's no doubt, you know, Quran has mentioned very clearly, Subhanalladhi Asra bi Abdihi. So that is in Surah Bani Israel. I mentioned that. Then after that, what happened from there? He went to all the seven heavens, and he met the prophets, and there he received the revelation. You know, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala commanded, gave him gift of 50 prayers. Then he has been asking to reduce it on the request of or on the advice of Musa alayhi salam until it became 5 prayers. So there are so many descriptions, and there are so many hadith in this matter. In Bukhari, Muslim, all the books are, and there are some hints about that in the Quran as well. So the opinion of the most scholars in Islam is that Mi'raj also happened physically, and Allah Subhanahu wa Taala took him, you know, to this journey. So that's what we believe. But there have been some opinions that it happened in the vision, and the visions of the prophets are true. So there have been people saying that. So, you know, you can mention both opinions and say, you know, what majority say like that. And say some people have this opinion. You know, a good teacher should mention, you know, all the authentic opinion properly. So the students should be aware of that and prefer what you think. So I, for example, think that Isra and Mi'raj both happen physically, because arguments for that are very, very clear in the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in all the sources. And people who say vision, you know, their argument is very, very weak. At least hadiths don't support them. So that's my opinion. But anyway, you can choose any opinion, but teach the students properly, you know, all these opinions.
Okay, let's go to our next question. Does it invalidate your wudu to dry the face, head and hands before washing the feet?
No, nothing actually happened. You know, you wash your face, then after 1 hour you wash your hands, and after 1 hour your feet. As long as in between you didn't do anything which breaks your wudu will be valid. There's nothing. Nobody said not valid. Except the thing is they don't like. They want to wash the second part before the first is dry. Sunnah, mustahab. Don't do. But if you don't, suffer some reason allowed. Except. You know, maybe some fuqaha, some are, generally most majority of the people don't have problem about them. I think Malik is the one who says it should be continuously, but not other people. So anyway, if people should not do deliberately, but if some time happens, for some reason, you are washing your face, then your mom called you or somebody called you, and then you became busy, then after that you came and wash your hands and feet. Yeah, there's no harm in that. It's still fine. But, you know, if anything becomes dry or you, you know, or wipe or anything, it does not break your wudu. Wudu will be still valid.
Okay, let's take a question from Chaudhary. There are people who argue that present-day paper currency has no intrinsic value, like gold, silver, And as a result, present-day bank interest is halal. Is this a correct opinion?
Nothing to do with paper money or any money, you know. People don't understand really why Islam has forbidden interest. You know, it basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it always has been in the human society, different ways of doing things. For example, you give people things for the sake of Allah, that's sadaqah. You give people as a friendship, as a gift, hadiyah. Sometimes you lend people money, for the sake of reward. And then you take back at it because they're poor people. And you also can do business, buying and selling. You can make profit. Or you could people can borrow to. What is lending? Lending should be just lending. Lending should not be with any profit or anything. Otherwise, no more lending. That's the problem, really. The banks, what they do, they make a lending with a profit, with interest. So that's riba. That's what they buy. Riba is basically al-qardu ma'al-fa'ida. You lend money and you take some interest or some benefit. So whether it is paper money or with no paper money or gold or silver, anything there is still the same thing. It does not make any difference at all, really. I don't know who has told you something like that. It does not make any difference which money is this. Even if something, something else, it always will be riba. Whenever people lend, for example, even wheat, if I lend you wheat, give you wheat to eat, and then I say, you have to pay me, if I give you 1 kilo and ask you, give me 1.5 kilo, same thing. Anything when people lend and they charge something, it is riba. So be very, very careful. Don't take anything. If you are forced or obliged to give this different matter, then you can find permission for you because you are not taking. But taking interest, that's absolutely riba. That's actually what Allah SWT has forbidden. It is like sucking the blood of poor people. And the poor people should be respected. You should help them not to take money and take advantage of their poverty.
Okay, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I'm trying to see if we can take... So I've received this question a few times, but I'm not sure, Sheikh, how familiar you are with how this works in the UK. Is working in the field of corporate mergers and acquisition tax considered halal, and if not, why?
I don't know what this all details are, but anyway, working anywhere, in the government where I'm living, and anyway, private, whatever, you are not responsible for anything anyway. You just work and do your duty and get money for that. That's fine. The people who do things, if they are doing injustice or haram, they will be responsible. For example, you work for the banks, it's allowed for you to in any tax business or tax system. Any company which actually involves taking tax from the people or helping the government to get the tax and whatever, if something is like what you're asking, still fine. There's no harm in that because you are not taking tax. You're doing your duty of, your accountant or whatever, and then you get your salary for that. That's absolutely fine. As I mentioned, like people drive the car, and maybe somebody goes to kill someone or want to drink, you don't get sin for that. As people work in the bank, they don't get any sin of interest. So you do your duty and you get a payment for that.
Okay, inshallah. Let's have a look and see if we can take a next question. Mohammed is asking, Dear Sheikh, can you mention, you had mentioned that you have a curriculum for Islamic tarbiyah of small kids. Can you share them with us?
Yeah, it already said. But anyway, since you ask, I'll pass on to Iman, and then she can pass on to you, inshallah.
Yes, inshallah. If Mohammed, if you email with maybe your name in the subject heading, info@assalam.az.uk, inshallah, we can try and pass this on to you. Okay, next question. Let's have a look. Okay, Habibur Rahman is asking, what is your advice for those who suffer from mental health? We recently had one Muslim sister in our mosque today trying to kill herself. She has one child. It's very unfortunate. Can you please advise imams what they can do to help?
Yeah, this really, these cases are rising so much in the society because the way people live and, the way families are broken or maybe their past, their parent have problem. Oh, the society has any many problems. These things are rising so much, and people have distress, and life is very much disturbed. So these things keep rising every day. We cannot do much, really, you know, from a religious point of view. We only can remind people that, you know, don't lose any hope and always trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever bad conditions happen to you, there's worse than that, and the real thing is to remember the day of judgment. So you advise people to pray and to read the Quran, to understand it, and to have strong iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, people should consult the experts and the doctors who actually, you know, take cases like that, and they are very successful. Many of them are very successful, so they can advise you. The root of the problem really is not to believe in Allah or not to believe in the day of judgment. So people think my problem is so big, I cannot handle. Then they lose, hope in anything, and mentally they become very, very weak. So no doubt, really. It doesn't mean the believers, good believers, don't get any mental problem. Sometimes they could be for other reasons. But the reason that I see these days mostly is because of lack of the belief and faith among the people. So, come to Allah, trust in Him, read the Quran, do the prayer, and at the same time, consult any expert, inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay, I think we have a question from Fariha. And I think this is something that maybe a lot of young mothers go through, maybe with their first child. She's asking, my daughter started going to school recently, but I get so anxious about her, in spite of reading Masnoon du'as, etc. How should I say at peace?
So I don't understand why your daughter goes to school and you need to, people have to go to school, people have to go to, you know, people do so many things. Yeah, your family members. But anyway, I don't know why you are concerned, but always trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua and, you know, ask him to help her. Also, if you're concerned about, her education, maybe that she taught something wrong against religion, so you have to make good education at home and good tarbiyah and make her to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be kind to her. To her, your love to her should be so much that wherever she is, she always remembers you and comes back home, and she prefers your company over any other company. And also, she should know Allah's favor so much that she does not want to leave Allah for anything else. So that's what we need to do. But actually, maybe I didn't understand exactly why you are not in peace when your daughter goes to the school.
Okay, we'll move on to the next question, inshallah. Let's have a look. I think we have a question. Apologies, one moment. Okay, so this is quite connected to, I think, one of the first questions we had. Nazia is asking, as if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically ascended to heaven during Isra, does that mean that we will be in our physical form in the hereafter, not just ourselves or another unseen spiritual form?
When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up to there, we don't know where he saw the paradise and hell, but we don't know whether he ascended into. But certainly in the paradise, people will be the body, because Quran is making all the provision that people get in the paradise and enjoyment. It will be, and people will stand up, people walk, people run. It all this time mentioned the Quran. So people will have, when people are raised in the day of judgment, it will be much better condition that we are now. You know, the body will be much stronger, people will be taller, more handsome if they are good, you know, worse, more ugly if they are bad. It all this described in the Quran. So that existence that people get after the day of, after being raised again after the death, that is much, much more complete than you can imagine now. Our body now is weak, but then when you are raised again, the body will be much, much stronger than you can imagine. So yeah, paradise and hell for both are physical. People's enjoyment there is, with body and with soul both, and also punishment will be, pain will be felt in both ways. And it's much more than that. You cannot imagine really. A day of judgment, unimaginable.
Okay, the next question we have is something I think a lot of Muslims are maybe not clear about. Is it true that Muslims can leave the fold of Islam if they stop praying, or do they only become murtads if they deny the compulsion of prayer?
Yeah, no, the right opinion is, unless you deny something in Islam, you're still Muslim. And nowadays there are so many people who don't pray, so we can't make them kafir and believer. But we have to advise them, we have to, you know, be nice to them, kind to them, and ask them to come back. And once they realize, then you should be reminded they should do qada after miss prayer, you know, they do them if they can do. But always good, give good hope to the people. You know, don't face people that they are kafir or murtad. You know, it's not right. Really. Right way is always be nice, and because it is so much ignorance. So even if somebody denies something about Islam, still don't be harsh. Because, you know, maybe he did not understand properly. But somebody thinks paradise, you know, does not have any physical existence, or just it is spiritual. So don't be harsh on the person. Keep teaching. Maybe one day, inshallah, they realize, because there's so much ignorance, our duty to teach people properly.
Okay, inshallah, let's see. Okay, sorry, I'm getting quite a few questions that are too long, so they're not coming clearly. Okay, I think we've briefly touched on this maybe in a Q&A before. Is a wali a must for marriage?
According to some opinion, but Hanafi opinion is that a woman does not need any wali. A woman can do her marriage on her own, like a man, because the Quran has made the women a subject of the marriage, so they can perform their own marriage. And there are some examples where women did marry. A woman said to a man, I married you, and he said, I accepted. And there are two witnesses. Marriage is fine. Same if a man said to a woman, I married you, or I'm marrying you, and the woman said, yes, I accepted. And then there are two people witnessing that. The marriage is absolutely fine in Islam, though marriage should be announced, but minimum is two people they can witness. So marriage is good. Marriage is valid with the wording of the men and with the wording of the women both. And they don't need anybody to represent them. If they want to represent anybody, that's still fine. So according to Hanafi opinion that I prefer in this matter, there's no obligation to have any wali on the behalf of the women.
Okay, inshallah. We have a question from Ruban Khan. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Can you please tell me what happens to Akhareen when we die? And sorry, Sheikh, can you please translate this word as well?
Qareen means that, you know, companion. So when people are born, you know, they have got, you know, jinn accompanying them. But also there is the angel accompanying them. So, you know, the shaitan misleads him and commands him bad thing, and angels, you know, command him of good things, they advise him. And angels actually are, they are more powerful anyway. So that is why always good deeds, you know, if people are good, so you can, they can find support from the angels very quickly. But certainly when you die, there's no need for any support, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he does for them, they go back where they came from, whatever, we don't know anything like that. There's nothing, no support, no proof for that. And I don't understand why you're worried about this matter. You know, the worry should be that how I should be more pious, you know, how I should be saved from the misleading of shaitan. You know, that's what and I should die on the iman. Even you die on the iman, don't worry about qareen or about anything like that. But if you don't do things rightly, yeah, certainly there are people, angels who are writing whatever people do. I don't know the answer of these questions. There are many questions like that people keep asking. Like somebody asked Imam Amir al-Shawi rahmullah ta'ala, what is the name of the wife of Iblis? So he said that is a wedding party I did not attend. You know, asking the name of Iblis' wife and this thing and that thing. I don't understand why he's going to help anybody. Whatever people need to know in their religion, it all is very clear in the Quran and Sunnah. Just worry about that. The real worry should be that I should die as a believer. That should be worry of everybody.
Okay, let's go on to our next question from Ben. Is it haram to sell musical instruments that you used to own before you were Muslim?
So there are people, most people say that music is a makruh tahrimi, nearly haram. And so you can't do them, yeah, certainly it will be makruh tahrimi to sell them. So now you can give to non-Muslim friends, but you can't do, some people are allowed. If it's allowed, then you can sell them, you can buy them, you can make them, make it allowed. They can't do, some people, music is mubah, like Imam Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri and many other people in Islam, they have been thinking that there's no harm in music, there's no clear evidence that music is not allowed. So both opinions are there.
Okay, let's take a question from Hanaf. I've been trying to practice constant dhikr and find it difficult. The difficulty arises when I try and do two things at the same time. Should I only do dhikr when I'm not multitasking?
Certainly, actually, you should do only one thing anyway. And I don't know what you mean by dhikr, really. When you pray, that's also dhikr. When you read Quran, it's dhikr. When you understand the Quran, that's dhikr. When you thank Allah, that is dhikr. When you help somebody, you know, for the sake of Allah, it's all Allah's remembrance. You remember Him. And sometimes you say these words, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allah, some of these words, they're also dhikr. So, and also thinking about the universe, that how Allah created them and how made them, it's all dhikr. Anything that makes you to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is dhikr. And the best dhikr is the salah, the prayer. And then after that, the Quran. People, when you read the Quran, try to understand it. Same dhikr, when you do subhanallah, that dhikr, alhamdulillah, think the meaning, understand it. So if you do two things at the same time, how can you understand it? Just think, really, if you're sitting in the exam, can you do two things? You have to focus. The focus that you do in the exam, that's what you need all the time when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I don't understand how people can do two things at the same time, except if some things are very, you know, simple. But the things which actually in ibadah, they need to, people need to concentrate.
Okay, we have a question from Yusuf. Okay, I'll put the second part on the screen, inshallah. What kind of, he's quoting a hadith. What kind of charity is best? And the Prophet ﷺ said, providing drinking water. May this means of Sadaqah Jariyah weigh heavy on her scales on the Day of Judgment. So he's asking, is this hadith sahih? It seems in certain communities, when a person passes away, the go-to thing to do now is to build a well on their behalf so they get reward. Should this be encouraged or discouraged?
You know, the Prophet ﷺ used to live in a real society, real life. Whenever people come and ask him question, he answers according to their need. So sometimes people come and ask him, what is the best action? He said, prayer on the time. Some people can ask him, what is the best action? He said, you know, look after your parent, because he knew that this person has got a parent. Somebody came and asked him, what is the best thing? He said, go for jihad. So every time his answers keep, you know, differing. So nowadays, you know, poor people in poor area, what they need, that's what you need to think. Sometimes could be building a school is much better, because you teach people, they learn, and that will help them to get a job as well. You know, when they learn it, so it is the religion and everything there. So you need to understand really what the community needs. It's not that you just keep making a well of, you know, when in a place where everybody's got water anyway, and the water is not a problem. But if there is a place where water is a problem, people don't have water, yeah, then water will be important. So try to understand the Prophet's answers always are real. You know, they belong to the people's need. It is not just, you know, he just follows something blindly. Believers should understand this thing. The Prophet always has a context. All the hadith, whenever the Prophet answers a question, there is a context behind that. If you don't understand the context, you follow him blindly. You don't actually do any good things. So whenever you want to spend your money, if you spend your money in a right way, and understand the needs of the people, then you get so much reward. But if you just waste your money in anything, that's not right. So always think what is the best need for the community or the individuals that you want to help.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I actually didn't think about it like that, but that makes a lot of sense. Okay, I was going to take one more question, but I think maybe we'll save that for next week, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, again for your time and always giving it to us every Thursday. And again, Jazakallah khair and everyone else for joining us and asking your questions. And please do join us next week, same day, same time, as always. And if you do want to see more from us, anyone who's not aware, we are an institute that was founded by Sheikh Akram and his daughter. Sheikh Akram is the principal of SLM Institute. We run a lot of courses. We run short courses. We have retreats running during the year as well, and this is completely online. So anyone who's interested, head over to our website on the screen, slm.ac.uk. And if you do want to see us, more of us and more of Sheikh Akram, and not just half an hour on a Thursday evening, we do have a graduation ceremony coming up, inshallah. So if you go onto the URL on the screen, I know I've mentioned this last week, this will be the last time I'm mentioning this, but if you go onto the URL on the screen, you can sign up and join us for an evening You can join, see our graduates, you can see our teachers, see a bit more about what SLM is about if you are interested in joining us. So yeah, head on to that URL, have a look, join our Facebook, our Instagram, our Twitter, YouTube. Other than that, we will see you next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.